Morning. Let's pray first before we begin. Father, we come before you this morning. We ask for your word to penetrate deep into our hearts, God. We pray for open hearts to hear what it is that you are saying in your word, Father. We pray that as we worship, as we pray, God, that you would stir up our hearts to worship you. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to read from Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 to 30. Sorry, just give me one sec. Okay. Daniel chapter 2. Now in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Then the king gave orders to call in the magicians, the conjurers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. The king said to them, "I had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to understand the dream." Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell the dream to your servants, and we will declare the interpretation." The king replied to the Chaldeans, "The command from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you will be torn limb from limb, and your houses will be made a rubbish heap. But if you declare the dream and its interpretation, you will receive from me gifts and a reward and a great honor. Therefore, declare to me the dream and its interpretation." They answered a second time and said, "Let the king tell the dream to his servants, and we will declare the interpretation." The king replied, "I know for certain that you are bargaining for time, inasmuch as you have seen that the command from me is firm, that if you do not make the dream known to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed together to speak lying and corrupt words before me until the situation is changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, that I may know that you can declare to me its interpretation." The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is not a man on earth who could declare the matter for the king, inasmuch as no great king or ruler has ever asked anything like this of any magician, conjurer, or Chaldean. Moreover, the thing which the king demands is difficult, and there is no one else who could declare to the king except gods, whose dwelling place is not with mortal flesh." Because of this, the king became indignant and very furious and gave orders to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they looked for Daniel and his friends to kill them. Then Daniel replied with discretion and discernment to Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He said to Arioch, the king's commander, "For what reason is the decree from the king so urgent?" Then Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. So Daniel went in and requested of the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah about the matter, so that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in the night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now, you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter." Therefore, Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and spoke to him as follows, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me into the king's presence, and I will declare the interpretation to the king." Then Arioch hurriedly brought Daniel into the king's presence and spoke to him as follows, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king." The king said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered before the king and said, "As for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while on your bed. As for you, O king, while on your bed, your thoughts turn to what would take place in the future, and he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what will take place. But as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me more than in any other living man, but for the purposes of making the interpretation known to the king, and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind. Amen. Interesting passage. We see that King Nebuchadnezzar is, by all accounts, a little crazy. And later you actually see him turning even crazier, which is actually a result of his pride and his hubris. In chapter 4, verse 31, he becomes like a wild beast. And this happens because he lifts himself above God, and God says, sovereignty will be removed from you. And so once again, as in Daniel chapter 1, we see this theme of God's presence, God's authority running through the book of Daniel to emphasize that God is in control over the affairs of man. But that comes later. So Nebuchadnezzar, this very famous passage, he has a dream and it troubles him. We don't know what the dream is. And so he calls together all the wise men, the conjurers, all the magicians, sorcerers, to tell him what his dream actually was, which is really strange because normally when we have a dream, we tell people, oh, I had this crazy dream. This happened. I always had this recurring dream for quite a while after I started working in ministry. I was always missing the bus to, when you have to like rush to your flight. I was always rushing, but I was missing my flight, or missing the bus that would take me to my flight. It was this recurring dream. It was really weird. I actually know what that means, and happy to say I don't have that recurring dream anymore. Anyways, so Nebuchadnezzar, he has his dream, and instead of telling people his dream, he calls people to come, all those wise men, and he says, all right, not only are you going to tell me what the dream means, the interpretation, but you're actually going to tell me what the dream actually is, which is like, okay. Who can do that? And it's almost as if he wanted to see, I mean, it is that he wanted to see if people were legit. Because he makes this mention, like, you guys are just telling me all these lies until the time passes, until I forget. And it seems like he had enough of people lying to him, or just not giving him a straight answer, or just kind of saying, oh, you know, you are probably going through this, or it might mean this, and kind of not seeing any, I don't know, real result in his life. When I was younger, I went to Mugai Temple Street with my friends. I wasn't the one getting my fortune read, told. I went to accompany them because this is when I was still working at Cathay. We're on a layover, and we went out just to, you know, go have dinner. And after dinner, like, hey, let's go to Mugai and you know, go see a fortune teller. I'm like, oh my gosh, seriously? And so I went with them. And what was interesting is that the fortune teller was fairly accurate. And my friends were like, oh yeah, that's so true, that's so true. And I went home and I thought about it. I'm like, you know, what you guys are doing is, like, the fortune teller, she was good at reading the cues that you were giving to her, but she wasn't actually telling you anything that you weren't already telling her. Like, the fortune teller was saying, okay, tell me what's wrong with your life. And my friend would be like, oh, this is what's going on. This is what's going on. This is what's going on. What's happening? Can you make sense of it? And, you know, like, people are good at reading people. And so you can read cues. But what I noticed was that this fortune teller could not actually describe what my friends were going through without actually hearing it from my friends first. So they really had no power. And so we see here Nebuchadnezzar is like saying, I know you guys are good at reading people, but you have to tell me what I actually saw. And that is a real test of power. That's a real test of, okay, there's got to be something more than just reading body cues. And even the Chaldeans, they recognize this as an impossible task. In verse 10, they say, no man on earth can do this. You're crazy, king. There's nobody who can do this. And verse 11, there's two things I think we should note. Okay, moreover, the thing which the king demands is difficult. Okay, not just that. But, number one, only gods can declare it to the king. And number two, these gods, their dwelling place isn't among mortals. So it's saying, all right, this task that you have given us to do, it is not within our ability or any ability of man's that lives on the earth. It is the place of gods. And even if some kind of God could declare it, this kind of God would not come down to us, to where we are, to make its presence, its dwelling amongst us. This God does not dwell with mortals, mortal flesh. So basically they're saying, okay, we're screwed. We're going to die. And so Daniel and his friends, they catch wind of this and they turn to God for compassion and they pray and they receive revelation from the God of heaven. Notice the language that is used here. The term revelation of mystery, or the mystery, that phrase is used 6 times in this passage, which indicates that it's quite important and that this revelation of this mystery is revealed, or this mystery is revealed by this God of heaven or God in heaven. Kind of emphasizing again that this kind of God is not on earth. It's not this God of earth, but God in heaven, which is kind of far away, but also at the same time saying that this God watches over all. And so this revelation is given to Daniel for the benefit of the king. And that's kind of the narrative. But what we actually have here in chapter 2, verses 1 to 30, is that we actually see a juxtaposition of two different worldviews within the text. First, you have a secular worldview. So you have these gods, God or gods, small g, that have supernatural power or supernatural insight, but really there is no... humans have no ability to have relationship with these gods. And that's what the Chaldeans were saying. Like, these gods, yeah, they have this power, but we have no way to access them. They don't dwell with us. We can't have this personal connection. But at the same so that's the secular worldview. At the same time, the author is bringing up this Jewish worldview, where you have this God of heaven or God in heaven who is above all, who is in charge, who is so much higher than we are. Not only does this God provide wisdom, but this God is a personal God. Daniel, when he gives thanks in verse 20 to 23, there is a sense of familiarity, the sense of relationship. He's a personal God. Now, if you think about it, why would Daniel and his friends turn to God and seek compassion if they didn't have this reasonable belief or like probability that they would receive this compassion? They turned to him because they knew they could receive compassion. They would receive mercy. They knew, right, from experience, from knowledge, maybe from personal relationship, that it is the God of heaven who reveals mysteries. It is him who gives the revelation. And so Daniel receives the revelation, right? And later on, verse 31 until the end of chapter 2, you see what it means. It's crazy. I don't really want to speak on it because I don't know what it means. But I guess the point to take away from this passage is actually kind of understanding the Jewish perspective of God. See, anytime we read the Bible, it's always good to put ourselves in the shoes of the original audience. Who did the author write this for? What was their situation? Why was this passage or this book written for these audiences? Like, what purpose did it serve? And so for the readers of Daniel, it was much more than just hearing Daniel's story of like, oh, this is cool, this happened to this person. But it was encouragement. Because the context of Daniel was that it was written for the Jews who had been exiled from Israel into Babylon, and they were still in exile. And they probably had some sort of clue how long it was going to be, depending on whether they listened to previous prophecies. But they were in this place where there seemingly was no escape, in a foreign land, in a land that wasn't theirs, and being really uncomfortable. And so chapter 1 as we went over last week, would have encouraged the Jewish readers of the time that, you know, God's presence and God's authority is still here. That it is still with you, even though you're in exile, even though the temple's been destroyed, you've been rooted out from your homeland, but it was an encouragement. And chapter 2 here says that, telling the audience that, is that not only is God in charge, but this God of heaven that is so high, that is so holy, is also able to reveal mysteries to you, is also able to have this relationship with you, that he is a personal God. And that, I think, would have brought the audience a lot of comfort, knowing that, oh man, God is still with us despite what was happening. The lack of clarity and direction in life makes life very difficult at times, almost unbearable to live, not knowing where you're going or not knowing how things are going to pan out. And so God speaking through Daniel would have been encouragement that God is still speaking to the Jews. Like, I am still here. I am still with you. I am still your God. My presence has not left you, even though you have left the land of Israel. So in this way, Daniel acts as a type of Christ, as a kind of Jesus. See, the mystery of God is revealed in Jesus, that Jesus is the Savior of the world. That is a mystery. At that time, the Jews had no idea of, you know, this idea. But for us, we know that Jesus is God's revelation to us. See, more than just Daniel was a messenger of God. But more than just being a messenger, he represents God, actually, in this passage. Saying that, we'll actually see later that the king pays homage to Daniel. It's like, oh, you're so worthy to give me this interpretation. You know, you have the power. So Daniel represents God. And in the same way, Jesus represents God. But more than Daniel, Jesus is God. And he reveals to us that God is not only in control and that he has a relationship with us, but that, I mean, God is living in us through Jesus. Hebrews 1:3 states that Jesus, he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. Jesus, as a revealed will of God, not only walked this earth, but, you know, lives in us today. And if we are to turn to him, he will reveal a lot of the mysteries of our lives when we ask. When we lack clarity and direction, God will provide that direction through the presence of Jesus in our hearts and through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And so as we reflect and worship today, let's do what Daniel did, what him and his friends did. In verse 18, it says that they turned to God to request compassion, to request mercy. Let's turn to God and be like, Lord, may you reveal your will. May you remind us that Jesus is already with us. And I was watching this podcast or YouTube video that was talking about making the right decision or making the wrong decision, trying to figure out what is God's will in our lives. And a lot of times we come to this point where we're like, God, what is your will for me? What is your purpose? What is this decision I'm supposed to make? And there is this fear in us, like, what if I make the wrong decision? And that is a very real fear. And I think at times we really have to turn to this idea of God's mercy. Like, we think that if I mess this up, then I'm on God's plan B. But I want to say to you that it has been God's mercy over you from the very beginning. Because what makes you think that you've been making the right decision all along? What if you've been making the wrong decision all along? But if not for God's mercy and compassion, he still leads us. And it's still there whether we ask for it, whether we're cognizant of asking for it or not. So this morning, as we worship, as we pray, let's just ask and turn to God for his mercy and his compassion in leading us and guiding us.
Big and small, beautiful. to trust in grace through faith, but I'm asking to taste. For dark is light to you, debts are high to you, far is near, but Lord, I need to hear from you. Be near, O God, be near, O God of us. Your nearness is to us our good. Be near, O God, be near, O God of us. Your nearness is to us our good.
Chemo and radiation therapy and other surgeries. are sick and have yet to receive the word of Christ into the hearts. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to move in the minds and the hearts of our friends and family. Suffering from non-cancer-related infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing hand over them. Let's lift up those in our community looking for jobs. Let's pray for open doors and opportunities to come. This morning, let's pray for SB Beijing, SB Shanghai, led by Pastor Hansi and Pastor Ricky. Let's also pray for the Chongs. Let's pray for all the churches on the mainland, underground, in public. Let's pray for revival for the mainland in general. Wisdom and discernment for them as they pray over decisions of the church. Thank you. let's pray for our fellowship ministries, young adults. We can put young adults Bible study up there. Also the men's ministry and the Monday lunchtime prayer and the Pure Desire course. Let's pray for the women's ministry, the Tuesday lunchtime prayer, and the Oasis meetings that the ladies have. Up SP 2.0. Let's pray for our building and the resources needed. Let's pray for the benefactor as well as faithfulness to the Vision Fund. Lift up all the pregnancies in our church. Let's pray for the mom and the babies and the families that there'll be no complications. And in cases where there are, let's pray for God's hand and covering protection over the mom and the child. EHS, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. It's starting tonight. Let's pray for a good time of fellowship and a good session for all the participants. Lastly, let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for God's continued protection over the city, just for His blessing, and just for us to pray for to pray for the city that we live in. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for not just revealing your will to us, God, but to revealing that ultimate mystery, Lord, for showing us that is Jesus that lives with us, God, that we have hope in a future, God, that even in times when things are dark, situations are dire, God, that we can always turn to you, Father. And I pray, Lord, that we would just come to you, not demanding, not being entitled, but coming to you for your mercy and for your compassion, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and your compassion over us for all the days of our lives. Continue to be with us today, Lord. May we be lights in the world. May we reflect you wherever we go. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.